blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, and we're 1J down today. Mr. Tross is not here, but never fear. Jeff Reed is here, pulling double duty today, producing and operating the board for us on the program. Hannah will be in later to screen calls for us in the screening room. And I'm so grateful that you've joined us on today's program. If you find the Hamilton Corner to be an encouragement to you, if you find it to be edifying to you, if you enjoy the programming offered by this show, as well as the entire lineup here at American Family Radio, we are asking you to call to provide your listeners stories. First, the reason why we do so, we found over the years that one of the best ways to communicate to our listeners is allowing you all to hear from one another. And this is one of the ways we get to do that, and one of the times we do it twice a year during our share-a-thon. Our spring share-a-thon is coming up April 23rd through the 25th. So we are asking for listener stories now. So the way that that would all transpire is that you would call this number, 877-876-8893. That number again is 877-876-8893. You would leave the equivalent of a voice message just sharing your testimony. What has the Hamilton Corner meant to you? What has today's issues meant to you? What has Stacey on the Right meant to you? What has Focal Point with Brian Fisher meant to you? And you would leave that voice message. That message would then be retrieved by our creative department here at American Family Radio. It will be produced into a spot, and during the share-a-thon, you may hear your voice on the radio. So once again, would you consider calling in, providing your listener stories, your listener testimony? It's always, always, always a stirring encouragement for us here at American Family Radio, but it's also an encouragement and a testimonial to listeners and supporters all across our nation and across the world, and we use it as part of our effort to expand the reach we have at American Family Radio. What you'll hear me say often is that because we are not a corporate radio organization, we have no allegiance to anyone other than you. Our coalition is us here at home base and you at your home base, and us together, we comprise the American Family Association. And so that is what we're doing. So would you please provide your listener story, 877-876-8893. The number again to call is 877-876-8893. We'd love to hear from you. Now we're going to turn into the Bible. I know some of you are saying, wait, Abe, you didn't give your daily encouragement. Aha, it's coming. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5, because you hear me say this repeatedly. As you're making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, I refer to it in that fashion because serving our families is ministry. The role I play as the shepherd of my family and the head of my household is not merely a biological designation. It's not merely a feature of natural occurrences. It is actually a ministerial assignment given to us by God. And I'll show it to you. It's all through scriptures, but I'll give you this one example in Psalm 127. I'll tell you now, I'm going to couple this text with one verse in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. All right, I'll read it and I'll unpack this one, then I'll move to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. This is the second half of this psalm. I may have to do the entire psalm together one time to show the connection between both sections of it, but I'll read verses 3 through 5 here and now. Behold, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. Contrary to what AOC may say, I'll read that again. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gates. This is so good, so instructive. So right off the bat, the Bible lets us know in this particular psalm that children are a heritage from the Lord. I've said before, and I'll say it again, you can search high and low in Scripture, and you will never find anywhere where children are referred to anything other than blessings in Scripture. You will never find children referred to as anything other than blessings. Contrary to what the world may say, contrary to what popular culture may say, contrary to what climate alarmists may say, those who are saying that children are threats. I saw a video today of crazy people talking about, we have too many people on the planet. Please don't have any more children. I said foolishness. High class, upper grade foolishness. Top shelf foolishness. Children are a heritage from the Lord. This is part of the reason why I'm so passionate about the image of God as displayed as a child in utero. And I'm starting to discuss it in this way more frequently. Because a child is just an early stage human being. And children are the heritage of the Lord because children are smaller image bearers. Though my children are my children in terms of God has entrusted them to my care to steward them for their adolescence and to have a relationship with them in their adulthood, at the core, they are a heritage from the Lord. They belong to God, not to me. That's why I have to give an account to God how I stewarded his heritage. It's his heritage, a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Oh man, we're talking about make stuff great again. Make marriage and family great again. Let's make parenthood great again. Let's make discipleship in the home great again. The fruit of the womb is a reward. That's why some of you heard it was just my heart's cry about even in the most hard conditions and difficult circumstances, don't kill the babies. The babies are not the problem. We have Jabez's example in Scripture. His situation was so grave, his mom named him Pain. His mom named him Pain. Yet we see the Lord expanding his territory. Don't kill the babies. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. I get excited about this. Because just as a child is a human being, an early stage human being, with every ounce of DNA that you will ever become, it exists at the moment of conception. Think about that. Everything you are in your 60s was coded into your DNA at the moment of conception. Man, talk about fearfully and wonderfully made. An arrow is an instrument that is perfectly ordained to accomplish the task that it has been destined for. An arrow is an instrument that is perfectly fashioned, perfectly shaped to hit a target. However, in order to hit that target, an arrow requires trajectory and direction. That is what the parents are to children born. The parents are the providers of that trajectory and direction. This is why I say all the time, the children born into Christian families were never meant to fend for themselves spiritually. They're arrows. They have all of the potential that they need. But the Lord has ordained you as their parents to provide that trajectory and direction. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. They shall not be ashamed when they contend with the enemies in the gates. What would happen? Because we were talking about a singular warrior before.
We were.
Well, what happened? How do we go from he to they? Remember those arrows in the quiver? Well, when those arrows are served appropriately with trajectory and direction, the sole warrior, the warrior, or should I say the primary warrior, I say it that way, the primary warrior enjoys the accompaniment of an expanded battalion as the warrior serves well in providing trajectory and direction. The primary warrior now has an expanded battalion. So now when we contend with the enemies at the gates, it's not just the us. I mean, it's not just the me, it's a we. This is why I said the Lord's will has never been for his body to retract in potency, and even in quantity over time, but to expand. But all too often, we neglect the primary means for expanding this battalion, which is the home. The home is to be the primary means of this battalion expanding, not the school, not even the church. Why? Because the most fundamental component of discipleship that is required is time. The church is not institutionally structured in a way that where it can provide the type of time necessary to make disciples of our offspring. That's why you see in the New Testament context, the majority of the qualifications for leadership in God's church turn on how a man conducts himself in the home with his family. That's why when I tell you marriage is ministry, parenting is ministry, this is not my opinion. This is the Lord's word. Now, adding to this conversation, the instruction that the seasoned, mature Apostle Paul offers to young Timothy, who's being prepared for ministry, who's preparing to lead in God's church in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. There are several things that Paul was addressing before he gets to this verse, but I want to highlight this to show you the weight of this assignment, the gravity of this assignment. Look what Apostle Paul says. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Oh my gosh. Now I know this particular passage is discussing the provision of natural resources, housing, clothing, food. But how much more does this apply to providing spiritual nourishment to members of our own household? If we could be considered so negligent, if we're not even offering natural provision, how much more negligent are we if we are outsourcing the responsibility to evangelize and make disciples of our own household? And with all of the instructions that the seasoned and mature Apostle Paul could offer young Timothy, isn't it amazing how he communicates to Timothy, man, if you don't serve your own household, you're worse than an infidel, worse than an unbeliever, worse than one who completely rejects the knowledge of our Lord. Man, that's a strong rebuke. That's a strong rebuke. That's a strong rebuke, and I'm saying this, sharing this, once again, not to turn people to make idols out of our homes, not to turn people away from a compassionate heart for the lost. We need every joint to supply. But the reason why I'm saying this, because we have a society that has dictated to the church the terms of acceptable engagement, and we have a society and a culture that has told the church, and in particular, that has told our women that if they dedicate themselves to rearing their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that they are wasting their time, that they are wasting their lives, that they need to give themselves to climbing the corporate ladder in order to be true women of modernity. You know what I say to that? Foolishness. Foolishness. That's why before I endeavor to provide an opinion on any matter, I try to measure it up against God's word. And I grew up in that same era. You know, I've talked to my mom about how when she was growing up in the Desire Project in New Orleans and people would tell her that you don't need to be worried about a family. You need to try to conquer the world. And how many women in their generation were even told that they don't even need to breastfeed because that'll keep you back from accomplishing your dreams. Your dreams? Where did those dreams come from? No, brothers and sisters. As the Lord himself said, what is it? Benefit a man to win the world and forfeit his soul. I would add this to that conversation. What would it forfeit you to win the world and lose your own household? I don't want to be one of these people who've flown all over the world, ministered to millions and thousands and whatever of people, and my own family ends up failing them. No. Lord, by your power, let me serve my family well and be faithful outside of my home.
Unborn babies feel pain. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. It's a myth that babies in the womb do not feel pain. Renowned former neurosurgeon Dr. Ben Carson said unborn babies feel pain to the point that they need anesthesia during surgeries. Dr. Carson performed operations on tiny babies in the womb, some even as young as 25 weeks. He confirmed that they do feel pain and can also respond to comfort and warmth. Dr. Carson said, "The level of barbarism that late-term abortion requires, I quite frankly don't know how people can do it. In fact, scientific studies have now shown that reactions to pain are detected around 8 weeks gestation. Unborn babies do experience tremendous pain during abortion procedures. We just can't hear them scream. Please pray that this nation says no to this human genocide. Speak up for those who have no voice in this matter. Stay informed at lc.org.
A Moment of Truth with Gary Bryden of the Association of Independent Methodists.
The height of hypocrisy is voting for a pro-life bill that would outlaw taking the life of a baby born alive after a failed abortion, and not working to end the archaic filibuster rule that allows the will of a majority to be defeated. If we were talking about bridges or projects, it would not matter. However, when we're trying to protect the life of an innocent unborn child, it is tragic hypocrisy. God severely judged Israel for sacrificing babies to pagan idols. Do we think He will not judge us for killing 63 million babies through abortion? Do we really think He will look the other way at such hypocrisy?
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit AIM2020.com.
Ryan Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Right now, students owe a staggering $1.5 trillion in student loans. That's more than the entire GDP of Sweden and Spain and every country in Africa. Apart from mortgages, it's the biggest source of personal debt in the country, more than car loans and credit cards. And student debt cannot be erased through bankruptcy. Who benefits? Colleges and universities, who use money from student loans to raise tuition, build more spectacular buildings, hire more useless administrators, all funded by debt that's destroying an entire generation. Because students can't walk away from student loans, their credit rating may make it impossible for them to buy a home. The solution? Tucker Carlson suggests we hold colleges accountable for every dollar they dispense in loans. Right now, they get all of the benefits and shoulder none of the risks.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. This is Abraham Hamilton III, although I may not sound like my normal self. It's me, I promise you. I've been wrestling with a little bit of feeling under the weather a bit, and my voice has been, seems like I start out okay, and then as the show goes on, it starts to kind of trail off a bit. Nevertheless, I'm here for you. Well, thank you so much for listening to the program. We will have a guest on now. Are we having ready? Yes. I'm so excited to have the guest on the program right now. There is a movie coming out that will be released March 29th in the year of our Lord 2019. And I believe this movie has the potential to turn the tide of the conversation concerning in utero baby murder in our country. It is the Unplanned movie telling the story of Abby Johnson. And on the program with me right now, I have Sean Carney, who is the president and CEO of 40 Days for Life. And Sean, thank you so much for joining me on the program. Welcome to the show.
It's good to be on. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, man. I have to tell you, I had the privilege of having an advanced screening of Unplanned, and there was a person playing you in the movie. I'm sure you're well aware of that. And, man, I have to tell you, I've never seen anything like that. And I saw the Gosnell movie, which was a good movie, but it had a different objective, which was clear from the movie, whereas this movie detailing, you know, Abby Johnson's life and really portions of your life as they intersected, I said it, introducing this interview, but I really believe it has the potential to change the conversation in our nation, especially in light of recent events. I really feel like God's hand was on the filming of the movie and even the timing for its release. What do you think about that, Sean?
Oh, it's absolutely correct. I mean, the timing couldn't be better. We're in uncharted waters right now where we have governors and senators and people running for president advocating for infanticide openly and somehow calmly advocating for it. And so Abby's beautiful story is perfect timing. You know, she walked right into my office, which was next door, when she was the director of a Planned Parenthood, and she witnessed a live abortion. And the movie covers about 10 years from when we knew Abby. My wife and I both knew her. We were running the local pro-life organization that opposed her Planned Parenthood. And it's a beautiful story that really reflects the pro-life movement at large, which is, you know, we're not a bunch of self-righteous Christians yelling at everybody, telling them how to live. It's a movement of converts. You know, many of the leaders of the pro-life movement, like Abby, are people that had an abortion or worked at an abortion facility. We have a doctor on our board of directors who's a former abortion doctor. So, you know, it really is a movement of converts. The timing of the movie is crucial, and I look forward to everybody getting to see it on March the 29th.
Now, you are like me in a lot of different ways. I should say I'm like you. You're married. You have 7 children. I have 5. And I talked to my sister last night, and she said, yeah, 5 and a possible. She said, because it's always a possible with me. But in watching this and seeing how you and your wife were involved in this, the 40 Days for Life movement and the pro-life movement so early on, could you take us back to that time? What gripped you in your life to make you, to move you to commit to this fight at such an early age that really ultimately allowed you to be a resource for Abby Johnson, ultimately, when the Lord opened her eyes?
Well, I had the opportunity, you know, I was raised in a Christian home. We were always pro-life, and I'm Catholic. We always knew that abortion was wrong, but I never really did anything until high school. And I got to hear a former worker, Carol Everett, give her testimony when she came to my hometown of Tyler, Texas. And then when I went to college, it was really my wife who got me involved. She was then my girlfriend. And, you know, she would go out and sidewalk counsel and pray. And, you know, between her example and hearing for the first time in college the devastating testimony of 5 post-abortive women, women that had gone through this process, it really convicted me as a young man that I just needed to do more. And so I was actually on my way to law school after college, and I never went to law school. I put off those plans and went full-time for our local pro-life ministry. And in the midst of that, we launched 40 Days for Life, which is now in 816 cities.
Mm. And I don't want to give too much away from the movie, but I do want to dig into, you guys clearly had a peaceful strategy rallying around the abortion clinic where Abby worked, experiencing all kinds of vitriol from even the clinic itself, but you remained diligent in that. Where did you find the fortitude and commitment to remain persistent in spite of what seemed to be a lack of progress concerning that, the abolition, I describe it as the abolition of abortion?
Well, it's a great question, and I think it's one that every community in America has to face that has an abortion facility. You know, how do we just not throw our hands up in the air and say, you know, it's been here 46 years and it's always going to be here. What could I possibly do? And that's a very cynical way to look at it, and it goes against the gospel. 40 Days for Life has worked, and by the grace of God, our local Planned Parenthood in Bryan, Texas, where Abby Johnson worked and was the director, it closed. It became the headquarters for 40 Days for Life. But it was going back to the basics. You know, 40 Days for Life is made up of 40 days of prayer, 40 days of fasting, 40 days of peaceful vigil. And so it's very basic. And I think that has to be our focus. We live in a very divided world. A very cynical world, and we need prayer. We need fasting. We need courage because on a lot of these issues, we're divided for good reason. And the unborn are the most important Americans right now in our nation. If we annihilate an entire segment of our population because of their size and location, we don't have a future. We don't have a country. And so it really is the first assumed right. It's the right to life. It assumes all other rights. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that really got us through as through the years of praying outside of that Planned Parenthood, and eventually it closed.
Now, I heard you when you said that you have on the board of directors for 40 Days for Life, 40 Days for Life, a former abortion doctor. How did that happen?
Well, he's a good friend of mine, Dr. Haywood Robinson, and he and his wife both were physicians involved in abortion. He's from South Central Los Angeles. He didn't know God, and they started doing abortions at night, moonlighting, and what he called blood money. And then eventually they had a conversion and stopped doing abortions, became devout Christians. And he is a fantastic testimony. He was also the first person that I called when Abby walked into my office. You know, Abby witnessed a live abortion, and she came right next door and asked us for help. We always said we would help the workers, and she took us up on it. And Dr. Robinson was the first person that I called. And he
was he on the board then?
He was not on the board. He was just a good friend, and he was always out there praying. He was very open about who he was, where he was from, why he went out there to pray, because he's done abortion. He doesn't have a foreign, you know, or distant relationship with it at all. He knows exactly what it is. And so he has shared his testimony around the country. He's been a wonderful part of our team. He travels. He's been to Africa and you know, throughout the world visiting 40 Days for Life campaign. But that just goes to this trend that we see. You know, despite 46 years of legalized abortion, the conversion gate on this issue only swings in one direction. And Haywood's a great example. And Abby Johnson's a great example. And that's really, it really speaks to the heart of why they made this movie.
Now, you made a statement just a while ago that was extremely profound to me. And I wanted to digest it before I just fire back a question. You said, if we annihilate a section of our population because of their size and location, we are in trouble as a nation. Would you unpack that for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, the unborn are just like us, right? Except for size and location. We have everything at conception that we need to be a toddler, to be a grumpy old man, to be an athlete, to be a teacher. Whatever it is, we're there. And we cannot judge the value of another human being based on the circumstances of their conception, or what is scarier, based on whether we want them or not. That always leads to the destruction of innocent human life. If our desire for them dictates their value, we are in trouble. And this is why the debate right now in our country is so good, as horrific as these laws are that are going around. It's that now America has to ask ourselves the question, when are we comfortable aborting the baby? When can we sleep at night knowing that a baby is being aborted? Is it 40 weeks? Is it 39 weeks? Is it 24 and a half weeks? Is it 8 weeks? Is it 16 weeks? And, you know, this ties back to the fact that in order to honestly, you know, support abortion, you simply have to deny science. And it's shocking that in 2019 we would have people that just deny science so that they can control the fate of another human being. And so, you know, I really think that, you know, we've taken this elitist attitude towards the unborn, and it is because of their size, and it is because of their location, and these are the most vulnerable among us. And, you know, when you want the baby, it's a tremendous blessing and a joy, and when you don't want it, it's a choice. And that is simply not a scientific reality.
Now, what we're seeing on a national scale, and I want to get your take on this, as the masks really are coming off, because there were a lot of people who bought into the deceptive propaganda of, you know, quote-unquote choice, really based on ignorance of basic scientific facts. But as science has progressed, where we've seen an amazing advancement in ultrasound technology, we see the advancement to where you can determine the separate sex of a child in utero based on a blood draw, you know, and the mother, all of these things that show the independence, blood types and DNA and all these types of things, where the national opinion, I guess you would say, is the conversation is changing, where more and more people are becoming advocates for the Imago Dei. They might not explain it that way, but I describe it that way. Advocates for recognition of the Imago Dei as present in utero children. So that's resulting in more and more people becoming, as is popularly described, as pro-life. Are you witnessing that through your work with 40 Days for Life?
Oh, definitely. I mean, and that is at an all-time high right now, but that has been going on for decades, which is why we're still talking about this on the radio. You know, look at all of our other laws. It's been 4.5 decades since Roe v. Wade legalized abortion. I mean, this should have all gone away. And at a time, the last 45 years, when there's really been a breakdown of the family in America, for some reason, we still have a conscience issue with abortion. It's still the most controversial issue of our time, and it never went away. We never got used to it. Some countries have, sadly, but we haven't. And thank God for that. And it's because it's so unnatural on the most basic level that we would, that the parents would pay a physician to end the life of their child. It's the complete opposite of all of their medicine. And yet, obviously, on the supernatural front, just the destruction of what these women go through who have an abortion. And it's a lie, and they believe the lie, because it's an easy lie to believe. Any one of us would find $400 or $500 to make our greatest worry, something that would embarrass us, something that would embarrass our parents, change our future, whatever it is, go away. Mm. And that's what abortion promises. And of course, it doesn't. And we, you know, we work with so many ministries that help women who have had an abortion. And it's just a lie that I think ultimately we haven't fought. And that's what you're referring to. And that's why we're seeing so many changes. I mean, this is still a very hot topic issue, and thank God for that.
Now, Sean, we're coming to the end of the interview. If you had an opportunity just to tell, I don't know, a couple hundred, maybe thousand of your favorite friends around the country why they should go see Unplanned, the Unplanned movie, what would you say?
Never seen anything like it. You've never seen a movie like this. It is truly in a class of its own. It not only is it going to be the largest, the most distributed Christian movie in the history of film, but you know, it's in 600 more screens than God's Nell, 200 more than God's Not Dead, and it is very well done. They spent $7 million making the movie. It is extremely powerful. You can take teenagers to see Unplanned for sure, but I've screened it for 15 different groups, including a lot of rooms full of wonderful pastors. It is truly changing. It's life-changing for many people because it's so powerful. And so this is going on right now in America. This isn't documenting history. It's going on right now, and we can be part of it. So go see it on March the 29th. You won't regret it.
Sean, thank you so much for joining me on the program. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Carney, President and CEO of 40 Days for Life, and the movie is Unplanned. Unplanned. It will be in theaters nationwide March 29th. You can go to unplannedmovie.com, unplannedmovie.com for more information about the movie. I would encourage you to check with your local listings to see if the movie is in the theater where you are. If it's not, demand that they host a screening. Movie theaters like to make money. So if they have an idea that people are going to come to watch it, they will more than likely carry the movie. And I'll tell you, I've seen the movie. I know there's some, they're trying to play with the ratings, trying to make it rated R, to prohibit people from going to watch it, because they know many of the people who would watch it normally wouldn't go to see a rated R movie. I have seen the movie, and there is nothing in this movie that, in my opinion, that warrants it to be rated R. What they really are trying to rate as R is the truth. They don't want people to see the truth. This is a movie that you can bring appropriately aged children to. I wouldn't bring my youngest to go and see it, my 4 and 5 year olds, but you can bring teenagers. You know, you can bring older children, and it tells the truth. It is a life-changing movie, and we are going to open the phone lines that next segment, and I simply want to ask a simple question. Will you go see Unplanned? The second question, will you take others to go see Unplanned? We will take your calls in the next segment.
Here's American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Lynn Ingram and Jim Duncan, two Texans, support and believe in our ministry here at AFA and AFR.
We know more about the laundry business than anything else. We know a little bit about a lot of things, but we know a lot about the laundry and dry cleaning business.
They created a laundry detergent to sell to folks to support AFA.
We just want to be able to provide a product that can be used by AFA to support the ministry.
When you wash your family's clothes with Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent, you can take great satisfaction in knowing that you're supporting the vital work of the American Family Association. It's a unique way to increase your giving to AFA. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more about the Redeem Clean products when you visit redeemclean.afastore.net.
Unplanned, a true story of one woman's journey across the lifeline.
This is Abby. She's our newest volunteer escort.
Abby Johnson was passionate about a woman's right to choose.
I'm not going to apologize for doing a job that helps women in crisis.
She rose in the ranks of the world's largest abortion provider.
And the award goes to Abby Johnson.
Until the day she saw something that changed everything.
It just moved away from the catheter.
They always move. That's why I do it this way.
What she saw changed her heart.
It was like it was twisting and fighting for its life.
Changed her mind.
Tiny, perfect little baby. And then it was just gone.
They tried to silence her.
Don't underestimate the repercussions of this. You gotta be careful.
But nothing could hold her back from exposing the truth.
Congratulations. You've managed to make an enemy of one of the most powerful organizations on the planet.
Unplanned. In theaters everywhere, March 29th.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. A nonprofit restaurant learns a lesson about socialism. That story next. Back in 2010, Panera Bread opened a nonprofit restaurant designed to feed low-income people. They called the restaurant Panera Cares. Instead of charging a price for their delicious chicken salad, they let folks pay whatever they wanted. In a nod to socialism, they offered sandwiches for a suggested donation. Now, that seems like a noble thing to do, but in reality, it turned out to be a free lunch. Some diners ponied up the cash, but most did not. Over a span of 9 years, none of the Panera Cares franchises turned a profit thanks to a mob of homeless people and hungry college kids. Long story short, the last remaining Panera Cares is going out of business, proving the problem with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's chicken salad. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. We will open the phone lines this segment, and the number to call if you would like to join the conversation is 888-589-8840. The number again is 888-589-8840. If you'd like to join the program, you are welcome to do so. The question that I'm asking the callers is, are you planning to go see Unplanned? The Abby Johnson story. Some of you may have gotten the book, read the book. I had the privilege at a pro-life event in New Orleans. I met Abby. She was pregnant at the time. That was my first time meeting her. And even after being very familiar with her book and then seeing the movie, I'm telling you, I was riveted by the movie. Riveted by the movie. And it's just something when you see all of your senses engaged to see the movie and hear the audio and all of those things together, it is a powerful, powerful movie. And I'll tell you this, let me also thank everybody who's given me all of this health advice concerning my voice and things that's going on. I really, really appreciate it. It's amazing that people really care, man. That's refreshing to hear and refreshing to witness. So, but as I was saying, the question I'm asking callers is, are you planning to go see Unplanned? And if so, will you bring some people with you? 888-589-8840. And as the callers are coming in, I wanted to address this one issue. You know, I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm just telling you guys, I'm done with Fox News. And I've been done with them for a little while now already, for quite some time, but they've put the nail in the coffin for me with this permanent hiring of Donna Brazile. And listen, I'm going to tell you, my issue in Donna Brazile hurts my heart to say she's from New Orleans, man. She's from New Orleans. And, you know, I understand a news organization's desire to have multiple views on their network. I think that's important. I think that's healthy for a news network. We do opinion here. Our opinion includes news, but our network is not a news network, so to speak. We do opinion here on the Hamilton program. But for them to hire Donna Brazile, I don't have any problem with them hiring somebody with different political views, no matter how regressive they are. I do have a problem with them allowing advocates for baby murder, but that's a whole nother conversation. But in terms of a news organization, I understand them wanting to have varied opinions and ideas on issues. My problem, well, let me remind you what my problem was. You remember, I'm going to take you guys back in time a little bit to about leading up to 2016 and see if you remember this. Play clip number 4, please.
You were accused of receiving a debate question before a CNN town hall where they partnered with TV One, and that you had this question on March 12th that verbatim was provided by Roland Martin to CNN the next day. How did you get that question, Donna?
Well, Kelly, since I play straight up, and I'll play straight up with you, I did not receive any questions from CNN. Let's just be
very
clear.
Where did you get it?
First of all, what information are you providing to me that will allow me to see what you're talking about? Everybody,
you got the WikiLeaks released a March 12th Podesta email showing you messaging the Clinton campaign with the exact wording of a question asked at the March 13th CNN TV One town hall debate.
Kelly,
where did you get it?
You know, as a Christian woman, I understand persecution, but I will not sit here and be persecuted because your information is totally false. What you're telling
the
American
people. I'm getting it from Podesta's email.
Well, Podesta's emails were stolen. You're so interested in talking about stolen
material.
So you
deny it.
You're like a thief that want to bring into the night the things that you found that was in the gutter.
Kelly, as a Christian woman. Now, why she had to bring Christ into that? I'm a straight shooter, so I'm going to shoot straight with you. What, you going to straight lie? And when this happened, I said, what does she have to bring the Lord into this? As a Christian woman, I'm going to lie to you, what, in the name of the Lord? And that's ridiculous. And then, not long after that, she ultimately ended up having to have this type of encounter. Play clip.
They've come after you and said, look, it's a little much for you to criticize the DNC for colluding with the Hillary campaign when you conceded that you leaked questions to the Hillary campaign during a CNN town hall, before a CNN town hall. Did no one at CNN know that happened?
What I sought to do, Tucker, was to ensure that we had these issues on the table, and I made sure that our candidates, I didn't want them blindsided. That's what I admitted to. That's what I, look, what WikiLeaks put
that's,
out.
That's the greatest spin I've ever heard. I didn't want them blindsided.
Hey.
That's so good. You should do this for a living. That is hilarious.
That was hilarious. And ultimately, Donna Brazile wrote a book where she admits in the book, yeah, y'all got me. They got me. I did slip questions prior to a presidential town hall debate between Bernie Sanders and she who shall never be president. I must admit, it still feels good to say that. She who shall never be president. Donna Brazile gave her the questions. And this woman was found to be too deceptive for CNN. Just let that marinate for a second. Put that on your social media walls. CNN found this woman to be too deceptive to retain. Yet, at the exact same time that Fox News suspends Jeanine Pirro for asking the very same question I asked on this program, they suspended her and they hire a person who on the national stage, you can't get on a bigger stage than presidential elections in terms of political news in this country. She's known to lie. First to cheat, then to lie about cheating. Yet Fox says, Come over here. We have room for you over here. Can't deal with them, folks. Don't want to offend anybody who's an avid Fox watcher. But as for me and my house, we use One America News. You have, you know, Newsmax. You have other outlets. I can't deal with Fox. Can't deal with them. I'm not trying to tell anybody else to do anything. I'm just telling you, that's ridiculous. This woman, she out and out lied. And Fox says, it's okay. We have room for you here. With that, we'll go to the phone lines. First, we'll go to Texas, where Iris is on the line. Iris, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. And the question is, are you going to see Unplanned?
Oh, yes, I am. And I'm also taking two of my dearest friends. The Walk for Life is coming up in my community pretty soon, and I'm hoping one of my friends will do it. It'll be the 13th one. So it's sold out in 2 weeks. This private showing, every single ticket of 100 were completely bought in advance for it. So
wow.
Thank you for all that you do.
Wow. Thank you, Iris. That's great news. Let me ask you this follow-up question, Iris. What is it about the movie that has you wanting to make sure you take people with you?
I want the whole lie of abortion and the clinics exposed. My sister was a product of, she had many abortions in those types of clinics, and I saw that as a 10 and 11-year-old little girl. And it made me so pro-life after I came to the Lord 37 years ago, and I want this exposed for what it is, and I want to see every single person heart changed if my heart has been changed.
Iris, thank you for your testimony, and thank you for your willingness to kind of let really the country and people from all around the world in on your personal journey to come to the place to where you are a staunch defender of the Imago Dei and the preborn children. That is amazing to hear and listen to. Thank you so much for your call and your comments. We'll go next to my home state of Louisiana, where Becky is on the line. Becky, are you planning to see Unplanned?
I bought a ticket, and I asked people if there are any tickets in the country to be sold, buy them. Get on social media and let people know that even if you can't go, you're supporting it. I saw a young man who is broken by losing his baby to abortion, and I'll never forget that. Hey, never.
Becky, thank you
very much.
Thank you. You know, that's an unspoken portion of this entire in utero baby murder phenomenon. One of my friends, Lonnie Poindexter, who hosts the Lion Chaser Show on the Urban Family Talk Network, he talks about this, how the men, fathers of babies who are murdered in the womb, how they grieve and how they have difficulty adjusting and recovering from this is something that's not discussed enough, in my opinion. And Becky, you hit on a key note there in your encounter with a young man who was the father of a child who was aborted, and how it broke him. What an amazing phenomenon. We'll go back to the state of Texas, the great state of Texas, excuse me, to put some respect on Texas's name, where Lisa is on the line. Lisa, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Abe. Did the screener tell you my story?
Yes, please. Yes.
Okay. So this is just so amazing. Back in 2009, my husband was the local news anchor in Bryan College Station, which is right across the street from the Planned Parenthood. He was anchoring and producing on a Sunday night and was bored. There wasn't a lot of news. He looked through the probable cause statement, saw a temporary restraining order against Abby Johnson by Planned Parenthood. He and the reporter figured out that she used to work there. They called her in. They interviewed her that night. They posted it to their local Bryan College Station website. And the next day, CNN, NBC picked it up. It became national story. And then everything is fallen. I mean, it was just such a God thing just that they were able to figure out that this was a big thing.
That's amazing. So here you are full circle. Your husband is at ground zero where this story began, and now it's come full circle and to where this movie is made available. So I don't even have to ask you this question, but I'll do it for the sake of consistency. Are you planning to go see Unplanned?
Uh, Oh, absolutely. I have a feeling that here in this part of Texas, it will be sold out, but we're going. My husband, unfortunately, has just been diagnosed with stage 4 gallbladder cancer. Oh. So I wanted him to tell you the story, but he's not feeling too well, but we're going to make sure one way or the other, we're going to see it.
All right, Lisa, thank you so much for your call. And Lord, I just lift up Lisa's husband to you right now. Lord, I ask you to touch his body, that you would enable his family to rally around him sufficiently, that, Lord, you are the great physician. Lord God, we ask you to touch our brother in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lisa, for your call and your comments. We're going to stay in Texas, and we'll go next to Gary, who is on the line from Texas. Gary, are you planning to go see Unplanned?
Oh, absolutely, and I'm going to bring some friends. But may I ask you, does the New York infanticide law specify how many days you have to kill the baby after birth?
No, it does not. It does not. So, go ahead.
So it could be several days.
So let me be clear. I don't want to be hyperbolic in discussing this. So the New York law wasn't a law that discussed killing the baby after birth. That was Governor Ralph Northam in Virginia talking about killing babies after birth. And the Virginia law that was presented by Delegate Kathy Tran did not pass, but they will reoffer it because the New York law, just like the New York law, they had tried for a decade to pass this law. So you can say it was because of Brett Kavanaugh all you want, but you've been trying to get this law passed in New York before Brett Kavanaugh was even on the scene. But what the New York law does allow is for at any point, it doesn't say how late the term is. And so there's an argument, I guess, you could make concerning post-delivery abortions, but I would not be accurate to say that the New York law explicitly provides for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Because I'm thinking if they're going to allow one day, then maybe two or perhaps a week, maybe a month after they're born. You know, I certainly, like when you hit the terrible twos, you may want to do the abortion then.
And Gary, your point is well taken, because here we are discussing 40th week gestational abortions when the Roe versus Wade decision really only allowed for first trimester abortions. Now, that law was detestable on its face, that opinion by the Supreme Court. But that was the Supreme Court decision that opened the door to the conversations we're having now. Roe versus Wade never said anything about second trimester or third trimester, but that is what we're discussing now. So just as now we're at the place where we're discussing 40th week gestational abortions, then what's to keep us going further and saying, you know, it's getting kind of uncomfortable for us with a one-year-old or a two-year-old or a 77-year-old. You see where I'm going there? Thank you so much for your call and your comments. We'll go next to Arkansas, where John is on the line. John, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you very much. I got really two comments with a question. My first goes back to your the rating of the new movie coming out.
Mm-hmm.
What was the rating of Passion of the Christ? I would ask.
I don't remember off the top of my head, but I think it was rated R too. I think Passion of the Christ was rated R. I'd have to look it up, but I think it was rated R as well.
Well, that just popped in my head while I was waiting.
Yeah.
The reason my call, we do plan on seeing the movie, yes. Mm-hmm. The reason I called is, the more I listen to the short show, the more questions I get. If we made a contorted effort for everyone in America, every church-going person in America, and we focused as abortion as being our number one topic, politically, could we not make a change? Could we not overthrow the New Yorks and the Californias and get past all that enough?
John, I got to stop you right there because you're coming to the end of the show. I do think if we focus, we could abolish it, but it takes that commitment. If you do not yet know the Lord, today is the day of salvation. Do not harden your hearts when the Lord draws.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.